left in the game, the Pacers employed what's called an unorthodox inbounds play, and that led to Tyrese Haliburton hitting a three-pointer, getting fouled, making the free throw, and then Giannis missed a three-pointer at the end of the game, so the Bucks lose by one. The Bulls are off. The Bucks and Bulls are both off tonight. Now, the forecast details from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny and seasonal, a high of 48. Overnight, clear, cold, 33. And then Thursday, sunny and relatively mild, a high of 56 inland, 48 near Lake Michigan. Here are the current numbers. Wind is from the east at 10. It is 39 degrees in Kenosha, 38 this morning in Racine. As we come up on 11 minutes after 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Roughly similar to what they should have been last year, although with real cuts, as you mentioned, to the District of Columbia government, but to lots of domestic agencies. But it also gives the president more range to move money around the federal government, around the country at will. And we're already seeing him use that power to extract concessions. Look, the way that he is taking advantage of his tariff power to bluster and bludgeon and pick fights with our closest allies, which has sent the stock market tumbling, will be mirrored by how he will use this power, if this passes, to bluster and bludgeon against states and cities and programs that he dislikes.
Okay,
by abruptly cutting off funding.
So given...
Because it is the spring, because it is March, it is time to talk jazz with our good friend Russ Johnson, who is a member of the music faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, also teaches at Carthage College, where I'm a member of the music faculty, and he is one of the finest jazz trumpeters around, and also the coordinator of what has come to be a truly treasured part of the cultural landscape of southeastern Wisconsin, Jazz Week at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And it is coming up next week, that is March 17th through the 21st, Monday through Friday. And the event is replete with all kinds of wonderful performances by various jazz artists. And some students are going to get involved in the act. And in fact, the culminating concert Friday night will feature special guest young jazz artists from around the region as well. So it is an action-packed, music-packed experience, and Russ Johnson is here to talk about it, including those events that are actually free and open to the public, as well as a couple of special events that are actually ticketed, but ticketed at a actually ridiculously low level. So you have the opportunity to see some truly first-class artists at a very, very reasonable price indeed. And just about all of this occurring in the beautiful Bedford Concert Hall in the Rita on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And Russ Johnson, we welcome you back to the morning show.
It's great to be back, Greg. Thank you so much. And again, for doing this every year, I really appreciate it.
Well,
all of us at Parkside appreciate it very much.
Well, it's why we're here, and it's always great fun. And I noticed this is Jazz Week number 13, and I trust that thus far things have been relatively lucky in terms of putting it together and things falling into place as you hoped.
Actually, this year has been one of the easier years for booking. Oftentimes, it's... It's a gigantic puzzle you're trying to put together with people's schedules and who's touring. And, you know, this year has been one of the easier times I've had putting it all together. So I'm very thankful for that.
Great. Let's talk a little bit of overview about this event. And then we're going to highlight some of the jazz artists and then have a little conversation about jazz itself. But first, maybe give us some background on how this event has been put together over the years. And I'm a little embarrassed to ask this, But I'm trying to remember if you were at Parkside for the first one 13 years ago. In other words, is this your baby? Is this something that was your idea?
This is my baby. Yes, very much so. I can't believe this is true, but I started at Parkside in January of 2010, so I'm at 15 years now, which just seems crazy. And I commuted from New York for a year and a half, and then my family moved here in the summer of 2011. So, yeah, this is our 13th year, and it's something that keeps growing every year, which I'm incredibly thankful for. We've had, you know, generous support from some community foundations, and the dean's office in the College of Arts and Humanities at UW Parkside has been very helpful in putting this together, because it's somewhat costly to try and bring all these artists in. But the original idea was that I wanted an opportunity for not only Parkside students, but the local community to hear world-class musicians, jazz musicians. Usually, typically, if you're in Racine or Kenosha, oftentimes you have to go to Chicago, sometimes Milwaukee, to hear artists such as these. And I wanted to spread the love to the local community as well as to my students. I feel extremely strongly that our students, whether they go on to be players or educators or community members, the connection to the arts is extremely important. And for me, my love is jazz, and for the students, it's gaining perspective. On the shows that happen Monday through Wednesday, and maybe even Monday through Thursday this week, I'm trying to work that out. We do a question and answer session with the artists after their performance. And I find that to be maybe as important as listening to the music for my students, because they get to ask these world-class artists questions. And it can be, something very complex, or it can be something, super simple. How did you get started? Was there a record that turns you on to the music? Or, I'm moving to so-and-so when I graduate. What's the first step I need to do to develop my career? So it's really powerful for my students and for myself. I learn a ton as well to hear these artists talk about their craft and how they create, maybe a market for their music, and how they create a career in music.
Right. This is as good a time as any to acknowledge the fact that when you came to Parkside 15 years ago, jazz was already a very important part of the school and the music department. And so in some ways, it probably felt very natural. It seemed like the right environment to try to launch something on this sort of scale. I mean, in a place that already very much appreciated jazz and was already creating a lot of excellent jazz right there at Parkside.
For sure, legacy, right? I mean, there is a legacy of this music at Parkside. My predecessor, Tim Bell, legendary local musician, amazing human being, as well as educator and saxophonist and conductor and all the important things that make up a great educator. He came to Parkside, I want to say mid-70s, somewhere around there. And Tim was there until 2010 when he retired. And he was a product of North Texas State University, and so he had access to this incredible library of music, of charts, we say in the jazz world, of charts from North Texas. And he had there, and Racine and Kenosha has a very strong legacy of incredible musicians going back decades, and that's still true today. It was very much, as you said, a natural kind of extension of what had been going on at Parkside. I attended Parkside in 1983-84 for a year, and then I remember being a freshman in the band, and I was definitely the youngest one in the band. We had two jazz ensembles, and I just remember the pressure I felt from the older musicians to perform, and specifically to sight read at a very high level. And that was a life changer for me. It really helped with my career. But yeah, there's this legacy of incredible musicians in southeastern Wisconsin, and within the jazz tradition as well, for sure. And a lot of that should be credited to Tim Bell.
Right. We're speaking with Russ Johnson, who is a member of the music faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside and coordinator of their annual Jazz Week This is the 13th annual Jazz Week at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. I just realized you were out of business there for at least 1 year thanks to COVID. So is it more than 13 years ago that you did the first one, or I'm just a little curious about the math?
I believe the math is correct. I think I started this my second year. So, yes, okay. That 13 is with the 1 year of time off, I believe.
Right,
I'd have to go back through my schedule.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Right.
And the year, March of 2020, that was one of I'd spent a very long time programming that week and was super excited about it. And as we all know, everything shut down literally the week before our Jazz Week that year. So that was really disappointing.
Of course, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's great that you are back and as strong as ever. So tell our listeners a little bit about how this typically gets put together. And, of course, most of what happens during Jazz Week involves these public performances, although there are certain, of course, other elements that are going on. But how does each Jazz Week get put together? Is it simpler or more complicated than it might appear from the outside looking in?
For me, I'm still a professional player, and I'm working all the time, and I'm still touring nationally, internationally. So I call in favors from friends oftentimes. I know many of these artists, not always, but I know many of the artists personally. So that really helps, especially with some of the scheduling things. I can try and work around where if I were dealing with a booking agent for every artist, that can be, I mean, just it's somebody in the middle rather than I know this person, I can text them and say, hey, could you do Tuesday instead of Wednesday? You know, one of those kind of things. So it is countless hours of work. It's scheduling, it's finding the right people. I always try and present a broad spectrum of what jazz is. There's so many different definitions, and honestly, the idea of genres in 2025, although there is obviously historical significance to them, I think there's such a cross blending of genres that, you know, sometimes I don't even like to, you know, put it in category, as Duke Ellington used to say, music beyond category. It's a lot of work, but it's something that I take great pride in, and I feel is it's so important for the community as well. I have community members every year that come to these performances, and they find me afterwards, and they're always like, thank you for bringing this music here. And some of it they love, and some of it they don't love. And even with the stuff that they don't love, most of the time, not always, most of the time, it's thank you for bringing this here, right? I mean, when we're experiencing art in any form, we don't love every painter. We don't love every novelist. We don't love every, you know, whatever style or genre of music. So it's for me, it's important to present this broad cross section of what the music is today. Now, the beautiful thing is the artists that I bring in also have this deep sense of history, right? I think to be a great artist, you must understand where your art comes from. So, you know, I believe all these artists, you know, are playing in we call modern or contemporary or whatever fashions, but they are deeply rooted in the history of the music, which is extremely important for me as an educator and as a player. I want to know, you know, what came before me and how that's influenced what I do and what they do.
Before we start delving into some of these specific artists who are part of Jazz Week 2025, it might be good for some of our listeners to understand this notion of you knowing many, if not all, of these jazz artists yourself because of your own life as a jazz musician yourself, and the fact that you have been and continue to be to some extent part of this world. Explain the kind of the nature of those connections and how helpful those have been to you over the years in putting together this wonderful event.
Long before I was an educator, I was a jazz musician. I started working professionally at age 19. I dropped out of school at 19. I went back and got my undergraduate and master's degrees later in life. But I dropped out of school to play the trumpet professionally at 19. And I moved to New York when I was 22. And I made my life as a jazz musician. I did many other things. I did some contemporary classical music. I played some Broadway shows. I did national tours of shows and stuff like that. I was putting it together in all these different, you know, putting all these different pieces together to make my living. But the vast majority of what I did was as a jazz musician. So I moved to New York in 1988 and was there until 2011, as I mentioned earlier. And, yeah, I mean, I had the opportunity to tour with some incredibly famous jazz artists. I don't need to name drop. You can look up my bio somewhere. But I had the opportunity to tour with some really famous musicians and a bunch of incredible musicians who you may have never heard of, who I think were just as equally just as great. You know, the jazz world is enormous, even though we may think of it as this niche music. It is enormous and it is global. For many years, I spent some years three, some years up to 5 or 6 months out of every year in Europe touring. So through the opportunities that I had as a musician in New York, you make connections. It's just like networking is every business in the world. I don't care what you're, you know, what field you go into, there's some form of networking. So for freelance musicians, networking is huge. Whether we don't like to think of it that way, but it is a part of what we do.
Right.
And then when my family and I moved here in 2011, I was fortunate enough to really step into the Chicago musical community very quickly. There were several musicians there who knew who I was, thankfully. So when I moved, I kind of stepped into some really nice work. Mm. There were a bunch that, you know, in some ways I was starting over. I was 45 years old when we moved here. And in some ways I was starting over. I had to, like, go up and introduce myself. Hi, I'm Russ. I play the trumpet, you know, which was kind of awkward at 45 years old.
Right.
But it was something that had to be done. So and I still perform in Chicago 6-7 times every month. So I have, as well as in Milwaukee. I just played in Milwaukee on Saturday night. Last Friday was in Chicago, Saturday, Milwaukee. So I'm still out there in the scene and in the community.
Right.
And that's what allows me to really connect with these people who I hold in artistic esteem. And you know, and I play with many of them in other contexts. Actually, yeah, I think I've played with all of the artists at some point in this year's Jazz Week.
And I think it's helpful for somebody who's not part of this world to maybe understand that it's kind of the nature of it that that you are going to collaborate with many different musicians, and if nothing else, at least hear other musicians, because in so many cases we're talking about events and performances that kind of have this blended quality. It's not a big night with a Mahler symphony played by one orchestra, but in many cases you're talking about the intersection of different acts, and you get to encounter these people in a way that's probably exceptionally prevalent in terms of various genres of music.
It's all about the hang. A big part of being a jazz musician is the hang. It's hanging out in clubs and going out to hear people. It's very different from an orchestral musician who's in a symphony. It's very different from a pop or rock artist or hip-hop artist who has their band members. Oftentimes, in jazz context, I'm a band leader. I have my own groups. But I'm also what we call, I would say, is a sideman in many different projects. You know, And I absolutely love that. That's a huge part of my career. It's a huge part of who I've always wanted to be as a musician. I've always wanted to be involved in this sense of community, and it really is a sense of community. So you're 100% right. It's this idea of, you know, as I said earlier, doing the hang. So, like, I played Friday in Chicago, and I was playing with a really great bass player named Ethan Fillion and his quartet. And it was a double bill, and it was for the Chopin Festival in Chicago. And there was a jazz group working in the, and they booked these two jazz groups, and each group was asked to do at least one Chopin composition for the thing. But again, like afterwards, I mean, we finished at 11:30. I was at the club until probably 12:30, quarter to one, just hanging out. So that idea of that sense of community, and I'm not saying that doesn't exist. And of course it exists in everything. Like I said, it's networking. But it is a huge part of being a jazz musician, because very few, not there are some, but very few jazz artists are singular in their, you know, like, this is my band, this is what I do. You know, we all play, and that's joyful and beautiful, and like I said, the sense of community is so strong. I believe in it very deeply, and that's a highlight of my life. Yeah. I had an interesting conversation with my daughter, who's amazing. She's graduating from college this year and going to go to grad school in Europe, and she was like, and she's brilliant. I'll just say this, and she's like, Dad, I'm never going to be as cool as you. Because she's been around all these people, these amazing people from all walks of life, all sizes, shapes, colors. She's had this incredible experience of having all these people in her life from such a young age, mm-hmm. right? And that I take great pride in that, mm-hmm. in the diversity of friends that I have in this music too. It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Russ Johnson from the music faculty at Carthage College, and we are talking today about Jazz Week 2025. This is the 13th Jazz Week at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, so it's taking place next week, March 17th through the 21st, with public performances every night, and also a noontime concert. Is that on Friday?
Friday at noon.
Yeah, on Friday. And there is a wonderful array of different musicians who are going to be part of this year's Jazz Week event, and we're going to sample their work right now. And we've kind of mutually decided that maybe the easiest thing to do is to proceed chronologically through the event. And so we're talking about the performance that kicks off Parkside Jazz Week on Monday evening, that's the 17th, a saxophonist by the name of Jason Rigby. And we're going to hear from him in just a moment, but tell us first, Russ Johnson, about Jason Rigby, maybe your connection with him, and what he is likely to offer up with his quartet Monday night.
So I've known Jason. We went to graduate school together at Manhattan School of Music in New York City, and I've known Jason since 1998. I'm fortunate to play with so many incredible saxophone players. And Jason is an incredible saxophone player and a really deep thinker of music. I guess you would say his claim to fame right now is he plays, there's a very well-known drummer named Mark Juliana, and Jason has been in Mark Juliana's groups for many years. And they have a duo record coming out in the next couple of months. He has an unbelievable sound on the instrument. He's a tenor saxophonist. Unbelievable sound, incredible ideas. One of my favorite musicians of any instrument out there, and he's also he's a very close friend. Up until a few months ago, my wife and I owned a house in the Poconos in Pennsylvania, that was our getaway place from New York City. It was only 2 hours from New York City, and Jason and his family had a house just like 20 minutes away from us on the New York side of the Delaware River. But so I get to see Jason often, and I'm actually playing with him on that Monday night. I typically don't play during Jazz Week. I play throughout the year at very many performances at Parkside, but I typically do not play during Jazz Week. I do not want the focus to be on my work. I've never booked myself ever for Jazz Week.
Well, and you're probably busy making the lemonade and whatever else you have to do that week.
I am the gopher for the entire week. I'm moving gear. But and so Jason actually went to DePaul University in Chicago for a couple of years, and one of his classmates there was Dana Hall, who is now, he's an assistant dean at DePaul and runs the jazz department at DePaul. Oh. Dana's one of the great drummers in the world. So we're going to be playing, it's Jason and myself, Dana Hall on drums, and Clark Summers on bass. And Clark and Dana are the if I may say it, the first call rhythm team in Chicago. So, and we're doing a couple of gigs beforehand. We're doing three gigs before, so we'll be all ready to go on that Monday night, the first night of Jazz Week. So again, Jason is one of my favorite musicians, and I did play on one of his records. There's a record of his called The Sage, and I'm on that record. And so this is an opportunity for he and I to reconnect playing and to bring him out to the Midwest.
Very good. So here is saxophonist Jason Rigby playing a song called You Are Too Beautiful. And again, Jason Rigby is one of the artists who will be part of UW Parkside's Jazz Week, and he will kick things off on Monday evening, the 17th. And here he is. The soulful saxophone playing of Jason Rigby, and he is going to be the artist who plays on Monday evening, the 17th, to kick off the UW Parkside Jazz Week. This will be one of several of these performances that are actually free and open to the public. It's a wonderful opportunity to encounter him. On Tuesday evening, a singer that I know you are incredibly excited about having as part of Jazz Week, a relatively young singer by the name of Alyssa Allgood. Tell us about her, how you know her, and why you are so excited to have her be part of this.
I'm trying to figure out how we first met. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about the hang, and it was probably just hanging out at some club. Alyssa is, you know, the phrase is, star is on the rise. Alyssa's star is on the rise. She released her first record as a leader about a year and a half ago. It's fantastic. She's remarkable. She's remarkable. And she's somebody that, you know, if I had to say somebody was going to be winning all the awards and placing at all the top of the polls, I think Alyssa is an incredibly strong candidate for that. She's got incredible range. She's got incredible technique. She's a really great scat singer. She has really great taste in music. She has interesting arrangements, and she's based in Chicago.
Mm.
And she has, she has an incredible group of musicians that are coming up with her as well. It's one of those things where I'm not a betting person at all. But if I had to bet on somebody breaking, through and becoming a internationally recognized star in the next couple of years, I would put Alyssa at the top of that, wow, that list. She's amazing.
Wow. And that of course can be one of the most exciting things about Parkside Jazz Week is those occasions when we are encountering a star on the rise, mm-hmm, or a star in the making. Yes, mm-hmm. As I listened to her this morning, I found myself very, very taken, yeah, by the colors of her voice, mm-hmm, and also by the natural ease with which she sings. There's just something incredibly authentic about the way she sings. The
authentic is a great, great choice of word. Yeah, she's deeply rooted in the tradition of the music. But I believe this past weekend, her next record she recorded live in Chicago, and I think it was all Beatles covers or something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's world class for sure.
Here is Alyssa Allgood in a song called Above All Else. Support comes from UW Parkside's Jazz Week, a week-long event with nightly concerts March 17th through the 21st, featuring Bolivian-born singer Ibelice Guadilla Faraguti and jazz drummer Frank Rosalie. More information at uwp.edu/Lurita.
As I pulled away from you, you tried harder to pull me down. But each time I got back up, I found the strength to stand.
Alyssa Allgood. And she's more than good. Wonderful, wonderful artist. And again, she is going to be performing on Tuesday evening, March 18th, 7 p.m. in Bedford Concert Hall. And this, amazingly, another of the offerings that is free and open to the public. On Wednesday evening, another saxophonist, this one named Greg Ward. What do you want to tell our listeners about Greg Ward?
Greg is the first artist that I've had back in the 13 years. I have not repeated myself in bookings. I've made a point not to do that. I'm always trying to, you know, and I guess after 13 years, I could possibly bring somebody back. But Greg is the first artist, and he presented his epic work. It was with a dance company. It was called the project was called Ten Tongues, and that was in that group with the dance company was the headliner. I want to say 2017, 2018, something like that. Greg is an alto saxophonist, incredible musician, composer. He's the jazz saxophone teacher at Indiana University, but Greg travels literally all over the world all the time. I mean, Indiana's very lucky to have him because he's constantly on the road. You know, he comes back and teaches his lessons, and but Greg is one of the important saxophonists of this generation for sure. And he's has an unbelievable alto sound. I think that's something that you know, we were talking before about Alyssa, and I was talking about Jason Rigby as well, the idea of having a personal sound, but that is also of an incredible, it's the most important thing. It's the first thing people hear when they walk into the concert hall of the club, or is your sound.
Sure.
And regardless of instrument, and Greg's alto sound is, I know him well, but it's instantly recognizable. He's one of these, it has such character, and he's a ridiculously, I don't like the word gifted because it's all hard work. Ridiculously skilled improvising musician.
Wow. So this is something called Rogue Parade. And by the way, where I found this a live performance on YouTube, he actually, before the music even began, introduced all of the artists. We don't have time to play those introductions.
Right.
But just the way he was introducing his musicians, each one by name and with all the respect and admiration you can imagine. It just gave you such a good feeling about what we were about to hear. So here is a little bit of this lengthy piece. We won't hear all of it, but something called Rogue Parade. saxophonist Jason Rigby.
Oh, that was Greg Ward.
I'm sorry, Greg Ward. Greg Ward. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Greg Ward with Rogue Parade. He plays on Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. in Bedford Concert Hall. And that is also an offering that is free and open to the public. Although just about everybody who is part of UW Parkside Jazz Week 2025 deserves to be called a headliner, the capital H headliners are actually a husband and wife, wonderful musical duo, Ibelice Guardia Faraguti and Frank Rosalie. Tell our listeners about them before we listen to their music making.
Well, so I've known Frank. Frank was one of the people when I moved back to the Midwest. He's a drummer, was living in Chicago. He's originally from Arizona. Drummer in Chicago, an incredibly well-known drummer in Chicago. And I played with him quite regularly. And he had I was in his last band that he had in Chicago. Hmm. And when he brought this singer into the group, who was from Bolivia, and that's Ibelice. And she was, she just knocked everybody out. We were like, who is this? This is something completely different. And they became a couple, and then they moved to the Netherlands, I'm guessing 8 years ago. And so they've been based in the Netherlands since then. And their music is I use the Ellington phrase, beyond category. It's just music on an incredibly high level. She's from Bolivia originally. I believe Frank's family is from Mexico originally, so you have this kind of world music angle. I don't want to say angle. It's so authentic and so original, and some of it is politically motivated. It's discussing topics of the day. It's such incredible music, and this is, again, I don't really put this in it. It's jazz influenced music for sure. Is it straight ahead jazz? No, it's not. You know, is it pop music? No, it's not. Is it classical music? No, it's not.
Defies easy description.
It really does, and I love that. I think that's really important, and I think it's important for our students to hear that, and for the community to hear that, because this is incredibly strong music. But that I wouldn't put into any certain box.
Right. So let's hear a little bit of this duo of Ibelice Guardia Faraguti and Frank Rosalie.
Yeah.
Live in concert, the headliners of Jazz Week at UW Parkside, Ibelice Guardia Faraguti and Frank Rosalie, husband and wife. And their performance is Thursday evening, 7 p.m. in Bedford Concert Hall. That's one of two ticketed events for UW Parkside's Jazz Week. Everything finishes up on Friday in really fun fashion with a free concert at 12 and then a ticketed concert at 7 o'clock Friday evening. Tell our listeners, first of all, about what happens at noontime on Friday.
So we bring in high schools every year to participate in this event, and at noon on Friday we always do the UW Parkside Jazz Faculty Concert. So we do a concert, and that's open to the public. It's part of our noon concert, typical noon concert series. And all the high school musicians are there, and then after that they come to the concert, and then we break out, and we do master classes. Instruments, like I'll take the trumpets, trombones, we'll go here, saxophones, rhythm section, we'll all go in different rooms with Parkside faculty. And then I work with each of the bands during the day. We have everybody on campus. They do tours, pizza party, whatever. And then in the evening, we do a concert where we present the UW Parkside Jazz Ensemble along with our guests. So this year, our guests are Walden, Union Grove, Park, Horlick, and Case High Schools.
Wonderful.
And I basically alternate Racine County and Kenosha County. Last year was Kenosha. Next year will be Kenosha. This year is Racine, and we'd kind of alternate.
Right.
Every year.
Where does the concert Friday night take place?
Bedford as well.
Oh, wow.
All of them are in Bedford. Every performance is in Bedford Hall.
Yeah. Okay. I bet that's a little snug in terms of musicians and proud parents and so on.
But. Yes, and my students are on call all day that day to help do whatever needs to be done, because we have usually around 100 guest musicians, high school musicians on campus. It's fantastic. It's so much fun.
And what a great way to finish all of this out. Yeah. So for the two ticketed events, which are Thursday night and Friday night, should people just wait and buy tickets at the door, or is it advisable to do that ahead of time?
Either is fine. uwp.edu/jazzweek, I believe, is the URL. But if you go to UW Parkside's webpage and put in Jazz Week, you can get tickets there. We often have a ton of walk-ups as well. It's either way is fine. Whatever your preference is, either way is
fine. All right. Well, Francis Bedford Concert Hall is a wonderful, wonderful space for making music and for experiencing music. It's not exceptionally large, however, so if people want to play it safe, they probably should take care of their tickets ahead of time. Russ Johnson, the mastermind behind this wonderful annual event on the campus of the University of Wisconsin Parkside, Jazz Week. Russ Johnson, it's always great to connect with you. Thank you for creating this in the first place and for overseeing it with such great care over the years, and best wishes to you and all of the jazz musicians who are going to be part of this year's event.
Thank you, and as I mentioned earlier, thank you for your support. Doing this every year is actually a highlight, and I'll just say this on air. Greg, you make this easy and fun, and not every interviewer does, so it is appreciated greatly.
Thank you. It was fun for me as well. Very good to talk with you. Tomorrow